Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin with you here on this Monday. Hey, check this out. We got a concert announcement.
Uh-oh.
Concert announcement. Tom Segura going to be at Bridgestone Arena on April 12th, 2024.
So is that for the Nashville Comedy Festival that week? I think it's around that same time.
I don't know. I'm not sure, but he will be at Bridgestone Arena to entertain you.
So. He's a funny young man.
He is. We'll have a pair of tickets to give away here in a little bit.
Okay.
For that, but that just being announced.
And we might have, and don't forget, Black Tap on Wednesday will be
yes.
down there.
Excited to go to Black Tap. Kraft Burgers and Beers will be there from 9 to 11 for the show. Big Joe's going to hang out and give some tickets away until 1 o'clock, so stop by. Enter for your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game, Black Tap gift cards, and much more. 143rd Avenue North, just across from the Batman building. So come by and hang out with us.
Hey, Ben's got a great question on Twitter that I laughed at, but I read it again. I'm like, huh. Ben says, if we get an opportunity at drafting a potentially special QB in the top five, Levis might have some competition. Does he need to show us he's special now, even with a bad offensive line? What would happen if they drop down and they're third or fourth and they can get – I mean, that'd be 3 years.
I can tell you what I would do.
No.
I can tell you what I would do.
No.
I'd trade back. Get draft capital.
Okay. Good move. Yeah. They don't need 3 years in a row
draft the
quarterback.
You've made your decision. You've made your decision. And you got to see if it's going to work or not. Now, if you I'm not going to say fix the offensive line, but if you address the offensive line like you should have this year – Peter Skoronski was about all you did.
Yeah.
So, which also, I don't know the stubbornness of why he won't. Like, just move him to left tackle. Just freaking move him to left tackle and see if he can play left tackle. Like, my God.
Let's
anyway.
Put him at guard. Maybe he's an outstanding guard.
Well, that's what Vrabel keeps saying. That, well, I think he's going to be an outstanding guard in this league. But you need help at left tackle. So, I would almost rather try him at left tackle and Radens at guard right now and see what happens. But. What do I know? But if let's say you get the fourth overall pick, that could be Drake May. Now he could be third, you know, but that could be Drake May.
Okay.
So you find a team that really needs a quarterback, trade back, and that helps your draft situation because you don't have a lot of draft capital to work with. That's what I would do. And then you need to draft a left tackle. You need to draft a receiver. You need to draft a cornerback. You probably need to draft some linebackers, and then you also need to go and sign those same positions in free agency.
That's a lot going on there, man.
Yeah, but I mean that's what you like. They've not done this, and to me, and I'm not a football guy, I'm not a GM or anything. To me, it's very simple. You have a need at offensive line, so draft the offensive line, sign offensive line. You have a need at receiver, draft receiver, sign receiver. You have a need at corner, draft corner, sign corner. Like, it's very simple to me. Like, you can do both. There's no reason that you can't do both.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot you got to piece together and put it there. And, you know, teams aren't built overnight over time, but there's just so many offensive line, secondary, linebackers, receivers need to be addressed. I mean, the tight ends aren't that good. I mean, what are you going to do for running back? I mean, Spears has shown flashes. Henry just doesn't – he looked disinterested just because he knew he's going to get crushed once he gets the football. So – there's so many things you got to put together this football team that it's just, I don't know, man. Chris in Lewisburg on our text line. Again, you guys are fantastic. 615-737-1025. Chris in Lewisburg says, I love living in Tennessee, but I'm so tired of living in a state that can't figure out how to win a championship in any major sport.
1998.
That's it. So professional-wise, is Nashville at the top the longest drought? Because now you got to add MLS into this.
Yeah.
You've got hockey, football,
well, I mean,
not MLS.
Vegas won one.
Vegas won one.
Yeah.
It used to be San Diego, but the Chargers moved, and now they've got their –
just got the Padres. That's
Padres,
it.
And that's it. Orlando was one for a while with the Magic. They got MLS because it was like you got to have at least two of the five sports teams represent 40%, you know, with hockey, football, baseball, basketball, and soccer, because they considered MLS. And you give it that way. That's fine. But Nashville now was teetering in territory you don't want to be in. Not at all, because there's no championship being won. Even if you go like, what about Raleigh? Well, I mean, Raleigh's only got, what, hockey and that's
it? Hurricanes. You
know? Yeah, and they've won one.
I kind of put Raleigh and Charlotte like kind of do in not, the same bubble.
No. It's like putting Nashville and Memphis in the same bubble. Dare you?
Well, if you're saying the state, then that's
– somebody once sent a note to the – when I was on air and said, hey, Arkansas should take Memphis. It would raise the IQ of both states. That's not me. Somebody sent that in a long time ago.
You know our GM's from Memphis. So.
He probably laughs at that, as well.
Look, the Nashville-Memphis thing, it's a thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, what other cities doesn't have, I can't think of, with at least two franchises that have not won a championship? I mean, I'm serious. Go down the list and look at all that.
I mean,
the Reds won the World Series in 90.
Right. The only I'm just trying to think of any type of championship that Nashville's won. The Sounds won the PCL one year. I mean,
Nashville Venom, that was way back in the day. Probably,
feel the hiss.
Yeah, probably, what, 2013?
No, yeah, 2013. I thought you were going to say 20 years ago.
No.
Stop it.
One of my DB coaches for high school played on that team. They won a title for Nashville.
Yeah, we know all about the Venom here.
Buffalo, didn't the Sabres win the Stanley Cup in 99? Or am I wrong? They beat Dallas?
No, Dallas beat them.
Okay, so
controversial play.
So Buffalo goes way back. Have they won a chance? I mean, it's been a long time.
It's been a while.
Miami won one with the Heat. Did they not? Okay. Yep.
Won Minnesota? A couple with LeBron.
Minnesota won.
Detroit. The
Twins won in 87 and 91.
Yeah. Matthew in Nashville, Detroit. Well, Red Wings.
No.
Yeah, the Red Wings.
Red Wings, and plus the Pistons won in 03 or 04 with Larry Brown. But thank you for the participation.
I think you just meant the Lions.
Cleveland's out of it because they won the NBA title with LeBron
in
2015, 16, 17. Jacksonville's only got one. Houston won with the Astros. I like this. We're going down a little. The Colts won the Super Bowl in 06. Chiefs, of course. Los Angeles, of course, that doesn't really. I mean, Rams won one, and the Dodgers have won stuff, and the Lakers have won stuff. We got something going here, Chaser.
Yeah.
What about Philadelphia? When's the last time they won anything?
Well, the Eagles.
Super Bowl. 17, whatever it was.
I'm probably going to win it this year.
Good. Well done. Washington has won something. The Nationals.
Capitals won the Stanley Cup with Barry Trotz.
Look at you, Chaser.
Yeah.
Sometimes I forget just how smart you are.
I sometimes forget that.
Anything out in Diamondbacks won in 2001.
Yep.
So Nashville is in this territory you don't want to be in.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're getting out of it for
a while. It's going to be a minute. 5774 says, hey, guys, great show. Thank you. Appreciate it. But would y'all take Brock Bowers around 8? He can help your O-line blocking and wide receiver passing. He can help the Titans in a few aspects. Look, if Brock Bowers is available to them whenever they're picking, hell yeah. Bring that Georgia Bulldog here.
Yes, I'll absolutely bring Brock Bowers in here.
We'll get Pat McAfee to come to town and play to a fan base like he did so well on Saturday. Did you see that?
I did not. I've stopped watching that show.
It was funny.
What did he do?
So he's at the desk for game day, and he's like, I love this Georgia Bulldogs team, and I love that you could just be in a crowd and go, who's that coming down the track? And gets the whole thing, whole fan base going, and he's like going, whoo, 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 you know, barking like a dog and playing to the fan base. It was very well done.
Can I find that on YouTube?
It is on YouTube. I'll send it to you during a break.
Thank you.
615-737-1025. Keep the text and the calls coming. We'll have Jonathan Hutton at the bottom of the hour. It's Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Little Boston bringing us back. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Nick Frazier, Dr. Crane on the ones and twos.
But we're your therapist.
Yes.
Our couch is the text line, 615.
Vols fans, you come in too.
737-1025. I still believe, and you and I do, now we call us crazy, that Tennessee wins on Saturday. I think Tennessee beats Georgia.
I could totally see it. The texter earlier was kind of giving me, I don't know if he was putting me in the Vols homer camp. Like, please don't do that. I'm not. I said that I thought Missouri was going to win. You and I both agree that this just smelled like an upset, even though it was a 2.5 point, you know, game. But I'm not that surprised. Now, I'm surprised that it was as much of a shellacking as it was. And,
right.
You know, I never have a problem with when a head coach, Eli Drinkwitz, you know, he's doing the interview and he goes, our defense kicked their ass today. And I'm like, you know what? I like that. I'm okay with that.
He's parlaying that Missouri job he's done into a job either at A&M or someplace else.
Yeah, well, three jobs. I mean, Arkansas is going to be open, whether that's done yet or not. Like, that's going to happen. So, you know, I think what I read was that I saw the alert. And, again, I don't know if this was true or not, but what I saw, I think it was Saturday night, that Arkansas is in the process of firing Sam Pittman. Gus Malzahn has been identified as their favorite.
Yeah, I can see him coming back.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to bring a retread back.
I mean, UCF pounded Oklahoma State on Saturday. I mean, they pounded them, and, you know, he's doing well. Why not bring him back there? He's from Arkansas. I mean, he coached at Arkansas State. He did good at Auburn. Should have won a national championship until he took his foot off the gas in the second half and let that idiot Jimbo come and win the title. But why not bring him back? They know him. And then, you know, people want that offense done. Gus brings that offense back.
Mm-hmm.
The Gus bus.
I mean, you're going to have, like, Jimbo's name's going to be mentioned at some point with a job. Probably not next year, but – you know, I don't think he shouldn't ever coach it again. Like, I would take that $76 million and
his ego is so massive.
Right. Oh yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he won't be able to stay out of his own way. Dan Mullen's name is going to come up. You know, what does he want to do?
I told you, Dan loves the life. Him and his wife are traveling, vacation.
I could totally see him wanting to go back to state though.
No.
He was
it doesn't
a
work.
God in Starkville.
Those coach look, Johnny Majors.
Whether it works or not, he was a god in Starkville.
Johnny Majors went back to Pittsburgh after Tennessee, and it was bad. I mean, it's just the lightning doesn't strike twice. And
sure, and you and I know that, but tell them that. I mean, would Nick? You're a Mississippi State fan. Would he not walk back on that campus and just be showered with praise?
Yes, in the situation Mississippi State is in, absolutely. Hands down, no yep. questions asked. They would, you know what, they'd gift him another cowbell.
Probably.
That's what they would do.
Yeah, I mean, so I could see that. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I could totally see it.
Michael, to your Brock Bowers on the text line, says, we can't draft Brock Bowers. It'd be a total betrayal of UT fans. In all seriousness, I would love Bowers.
Good text.
You would. This is something else, too, that I just saw this. Hold on. Matthew from Jolton. Of the cities that have two or more of the Big Five pro franchises, Nashville is the only one that doesn't have a single championship. We're talking NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, MLS. Nashville is the only one that doesn't have a single championship.
Yeah, major championship.
But in Orlando?
I mean, look, the closest thing you have is the Titans have an AFC title. The Predators have a Western Conference Western Conference title, and that's it.
Charlotte has not won anything. Somebody, Matthew.
That's true. Yeah, because the Panthers have gone to two Super Bowls and lost them both, I think.
And the Bobcats, Hornets, whatever, have never won a championship.
Right.
Okay. You guys are great. I mean, this is a fun little – it's not a fun topic, but it's
– 6-8 –
oh, no.
6-8-0-9, Jimbo Fisher to Vandy. You'd lose your mind.
I would. I'd go crazy. I would –
would you just at the introductory press conference could I
– protest.
Could you just go punch him?
I'd protest. I have no dog in the fight at Vandy, but I would protest hiring Jimbo Fisher. I would. I'd take Clark Lee all day, every day over Jimbo Fisher. I would not. That would – no. You don't want that. I'm smarter than you. Ego coming to town. Like, you don't want that. Not at all.
Amy from Arkansas. Arkansas will not hire Gus Malzahn. Universally hated by most of the fan base. He screwed them over last time they were looking for a coach by using their offer as a bid for Auburn.
Oh, we tend to forgive coaches sometimes.
I mean,
with all that.
Forgive and forget.
There was a note I saw earlier. Brady Hoke is retiring from San Diego State, the former Tennessee head football coach for one game.
He
is stepping down at San Diego State, by the way, for those who care. And that's probably none of you that care. Matthew from Jolton says, New York has the most world championships at 65.
I believe that. Yankees have the majority of those.
7, 28. Ask a Yankee fan, they'll tell you. They'll know.
Yeah, we'll hear from We'll hear from one in just a second.
Oh,
right. Just wait.
Oh, goodness. So, do you want to read that one? I'm not.
Yeah, I'll read it. 6809. Nashville has no championships, but we have dumbass Stillman.
Hey, that's a win.
We love Jared. Come on.
That's right.
You love him. You just want to hug him.
Yep.
Award-winning pregame show, by
Award-winning pregame show.
Yeah.
My name's on the trophy, but, you know.
Is it?
They earned it. It is.
Good for you, man.
Yeah. So, look, and I love, too. I was listening to Robbie during his rant this morning. That, you know, you got that segment of the Vols fan base. It's like, Heupel needs to go. I'm like, no, he doesn't. You're going to be fine.
No.
Like, I don't know why you're that surprised by this year. Now, I wasn't expecting a loss to Missouri. I wasn't really expecting a loss to Florida. I thought that, you know, but I know that that's a tough game, especially in the Swamp. That game did not go the way that I thought it would. I didn't expect them to beat Alabama 2 years in a row. For whatever reason, I do still feel like they're going to just shock the world, and they shouldn't, but that they will. Now, my question is, who's starting at quarterback?
Well, that's a good question.
Who should be starting at quarterback?
Well, I had the same feeling about this game that I had about Florida and Tennessee, because I said, you know, Florida lost to Utah, and they beat, like, Charlotte the week before that, and I was like, they can really kind of turn their season around early on by knocking off Tennessee, in which they did. I mean, they just really took it to them. So, Tennessee now, you can forget that Missouri lost, the Alabama lost, by knocking off Georgia. And I think it's the last time. I mean, I think, did Butch beat them in 17 or 15? I think they beat them up there.
Was that the 15. The Juwan Jennings, the Dobnail boot game?
That was at Athens in 16. So, I think 15 they beat them up there. I think so. I remember 09, they got him pretty good with Kiffin up there. But, you know, I mean, this is it. I mean, how often, and I know they're number two in the college football playoff rankings, but number one in the AP. Look, you know, it's not every week you play the number one team in the country. It's not every week you get to take this battle to them. So, imagine they knock off Georgia. I mean, Georgia's already locked up the SEC championship, right? I know they're playing to get in the playoffs, and I understand all that. But Tennessee's got some talent up there, and I'd see why not knock them off. And then if Tennessee knocks off Georgia, no matter what happens, you lose to Vandy, you're not going to lose to Vandy, but you're still looking at a season that could end up potentially at 9-3 and have a good, you know, a nice, decent bowl game. But it's weird. I think they beat Georgia on Saturday. It's odd.
It wouldn't shock me just because you just laid it out perfectly. Like, Georgia, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to them at all now if they were to lose that game. I mean, I'm not saying they're not going to try, but, I mean, it just – when that happens, you know, sometimes teams will overlook, and especially they just watch what Missouri did to them, like, oh, we got them.
Yeah.
You know, we beat Missouri by 10 or whatever it was, so we got this.
I'm looking at all right, Georgia played at Auburn. They won 27-20. Was that – they won late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a good game. I mean, Auburn definitely gave them a game.
Wait, so hold on. They've played at Auburn.
Wayne from Spring Hill wants to have what you're having.
At Vandy. So, is this right? They've only played two away games? No, that can't be correct.
I don't know.
I'm looking at their schedule here, but they haven't played Florida was on the road. Okay, I get that.
Well, that's a neutral side.
Right. So they haven't played in this environment all year long at all.
No, that's why people gave them so much crap, because they had an easy schedule. They're at Auburn, here, Jacksonville, and then they'll be at Knoxville. They'll be in Atlanta against Georgia Tech.
So 8 home games, 4 on the road. That's right. So they've played. Their two road games have been at Vandy and Auburn.
Yep.
And Vandy's not a road game, because that was 99% Georgia fans.
Yeah, that was.
So they have not walked into the environment that they're going to walk into Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
I like this pick. What's the spread?
Let's see. I haven't looked yet.
I do. I think this bodes well for the Tennessee Vols.
What do you think it should be?
Georgia by 7.
Georgia by 7.
What you got, man?
I have, according to the interwebs, Georgia by 10.
Okay.
I'd take the points. I'd take the 10 points for sure.
You do it, Chase McCabe.
In Knoxville. Who knows?
Yeah. They have not walked into that environment all year long. Let Tennessee get up 7-0 on them, get that crowd behind them. Oh, that's a loud play. I mean, that's a
And you got to look, you got a team that just got embarrassed. So use that. Yep. Use that as motivation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if I'm Josh Heupel, the whole week I'm going, we just got embarrassed. Nobody's given us a chance. Everybody's written you off.
Bring out Nico. That crowd would go insane.
I would start Nico.
And
you and Ricky had to convince me on that. But because I was like, nah. And then the more I thought about it, the more we talked about it, I'm like, you know what?
Why not?
It's Nico time in Tennessee.
I mean, the fan base would erupt. That Neyland would be on fire on Saturday. The goalposts are gone. You beat Georgia, the goalposts are Tennessee River again. Or they're going up and down Cumberland Avenue. They're gone. I'm telling you right now, you beat Georgia, they're storming the field. Tennessee will pay that fine.
There's going to be another goalpost in the river.
Bill Haslam will pay that fine, $500,000.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Man, I'm looking. You got me fired up now, Chaser.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Vols. How about that? We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin here on this Monday. As we do every Monday at 10:30, we say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hut, what's up?
What is going on, Chase? Big Joe, good to see you guys.
Always good to hear from you, my man. You doing okay?
I'm great. Off to a great start to the week.
That's awesome. We're being a therapist today for Titans fans and Vols fans. I mean, it's everybody. They're all hurting today. It was, I guess, MTSU was the only victor this weekend. It was indeed. Let's start with the Titans. Just a general question. Will Levis, I mean, he was getting beat up yesterday, just like Ryan Tannehill, didn't have any protection. I thought he had the one interception that I would have just taken the sack at that point, but then he probably could have had two or three more. Overall, how'd you evaluate Will Levis?
I mean, the last three games, Will Levis has been great in his first start. The Thursday night game, he wasn't I didn't leave that game thinking, it's a reset to reset expectations. And now it's, game three, I'm watching him getting destroyed in the pocket. And I'm thinking, how difficult is it going to be to evaluate this guy down the final eight games of this season? To get a true assessment, would be defined for me as, is he the dude moving forward or not?
Right.
Maybe it's not even that definitive. Maybe it's, are we investing in this guy as the guy moving forward? Or with $100 million, are we doing more than that? Are we doing more than getting a Taylor Heinicke version backup? That's where they are right now. I mean, the Titans quarterbacks, you mentioned Tannehill too, and he deserves to be mentioned here because it was inevitable. I know Koharski's mentioned this and he's right. Inevitable he's going to be on crutches at some point. They've been sacked 33 times, quarterbacks, and I'm just thinking about the one other time in the Titans era that they've allowed a quarterback to get hit this much through nine games was also a Vrabel year. That was 2019. And Levis was sacked or hit on 13 of his 39 dropbacks, or is it 23? I think 23 of his 39 dropbacks. And when receivers are dropping passes when they can't run the ball, and for positive yards, I mean, it's to me, no quarterback is going to perform well. And now, considering what the other quarterbacks against that Bucs defense had done on the four games prior to yesterday, Chase, and to know that Levis ends up with 199 when Goff had 350, Desmond Ridder threw for 250, and Josh Allen carved them up for 330 yards, and C.J. Stroud set a rookie record for 470. The Titans offense should have been primed for a spark against a bad Tampa team. And the problem is they have an offensive line that is not going to be able to produce enough time or enough consistency. And by the way, it's not just the quarterbacks, it's the run game too, for the Titans offense to do literally anything. And so I'm questioning how we evaluate him given the status of what he's playing behind.
Jonathan, we got like 18 questions for you, and you just pick wherever you want to go on this. My thing is, tell me why they traded Kevin Byard.
They traded Kevin Byard, Joe, and I think I know where you're going with this. I think they traded Kevin Byard because they had six picks. Three of those six picks were seventh rounders, and now they have some draft capital if they want to make a trade up to do so. Problem is, they'll be able to trade down at this point if they want to, based on where they're drafting. So, he was not going to be here next year. What we don't know is what offers were on the table for the other vets that they did not take. That's what we don't know. And it's not like they chose not to trade those guys, but it's not like they didn't or were not open to the idea of trading those guys. So was it going to be a fire sale? Don't know. But did they trade Byard a week before the deadline? Yeah, which tells me they were going to trade him regardless of record. If they had won that game or not prior to the trade of Byard to Philadelphia.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. I said after Levis's first game that I would consider re-signing Derrick Henry to a two-year deal. You can get out after one, however you want to do it, because the run game is still very important, and it's applied the last 3 weeks. If Henry carries the ball 20 or more times, they win. That hasn't happened, and so they haven't been winning. It does feel like, though, that they're force-feeding Tajay Spears into the lineup. I thought, he made some key catches yesterday, 42 yards.
As they should.
Yeah, as they should. That's fine. Like, I have no problem with that. But I still think that Derrick Henry can be a piece to this offense and take some pressure off of the young quarterback. Agree or disagree, or do you think that they've already made that decision?
I'm the champion of the King Henry fan club here. I'm all for him being back. Let's flip it, though. Why would Derrick Henry want to be back here?
Yeah, well, that's fair.
you want a handful of team. If you're going to play for a two-year contract with a one-year out and you're going to play for $5 or $6 million next year, you can go play for the Buffalo Bills for that. You can go and be a running back in Detroit. I'm just thinking of teams that either desperately need to fix their run game, or they value the run as much as the Titans do. Baltimore, let's just start rattling them off here. The Titans can't do anything up front, and with miss after miss on the offensive line, and given the fact that Henry had negative yards on four of his carries yesterday, if the run game is a lost cause, why? If you're Henry, you're number one, you're chasing a championship, right?
Right.
He's also chasing the Hall of Fame. Is that going to happen here with behind this line? No. And do I think he's the same back? No, I do not. But they have to find the explosion in the run game, and he's getting tripped up by a hand tackle yesterday at the ankle. But point being, Chase, at some point, veterans look around and go, I'm wasting years right now. And the Titans had a window of opportunity that passed them by way too fast. And this past offseason, and I mentioned it then, and I'll mention it again now, it felt like they were one foot in, one foot out. And I wasn't the only one saying that. Players I was talking with were saying that too. I'm not insinuating Henry here. I didn't speak to Derek. But if you're the focus and you are the identity, what are you doing up front where you're having a line that can't even run block right now? Getting destroyed at the point of attack on multiple situations. So, yeah, I would be frustrated, and I would also look around and go, okay, how are we improving this, and what's the direction right now? Because it looks like we're headed for a total overhaul.
It does. Another thing, Jonathan, gets me, yesterday they looked uninspired. I was still in Chase earlier. When Mike Evans caught the ball at the three-yard line, it's like nobody wanted to stop him, and he just powered his way in the end zone. They look uninspired, and I lay that at the feet of Mike Vrabel.
Well, it's hard to believe how fast it turned, Joe, because this team was 2-2, and now they're 3-6. And I think the most surprising aspect for me is the belief is gone. The belief is in that no matter how bad it gets, the Titans are going to find a way to be in the ball game. And now it's a team, and it's an offense. Let's start there, because I think the Titans front seven, the pass rush, they were playing, they were going out yesterday. it's an offense that, and I'm going back to the belief, it doesn't seem to believe they're winning the play, that they're winning the matchup, that they're winning the game. And it's this team is certainly not believing they're in the postseason. And I'm staring at these results. And if you're just being real to the way they're playing versus others, I'm believing it's going to get a lot worse, not a lot better. It was all they've been talking about from the head coach on down is, oh, we've got to improve, got to execute. No, this is a Titans team that makes so many mistakes. They miss so many opportunities. And with the 2-2 to 3-6 happening as fast as it had, there is no quick turnaround for this team. It's quicker to list the positions where an overhaul is not needed this offseason, which makes their approach this past offseason even more of a head scratcher. And I think the overall vibe from the individual with what they did this offseason, where you didn't know really what was going on. They're going to trade Henry. Is Tannehill back? You don't know. And then all of a sudden, DeAndre Hopkins is coming in after they pass up on him. They're laughing on camera at the draft when they're passing up wide receiver and they're drafting their second straight year, going into the year, backup running back, backup quarterback again. So, yeah, I mean, you have to, okay, what are we doing? And then who are we? I think they've lost that. They've lost that mentality that it's the next man up. They were doing that on defense a couple of years back. They found ways to do it on offense too and move guys around on the offensive line. That's gone. Yeah. So if the coaching staff gets credit for getting the most out of what was a scrap heap a couple of years back and winning coach of the year, I mean, what's going on this year then? You can't just point to, personnel and execution whenever the word of the offseason was collaboration. So blame starts at the top all the way down here. Everyone is at fault for what we've seen up front on the offensive line.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Want to get one in on the Vols. Do you feel like after what you saw Saturday against Missouri that with the offense, you talk about offenses going in the wrong direction, the Vols are certainly up there. Is it Nico time? Should they start him this week?
I don't hate that idea. Chase, it's a great question. I don't hate that idea. But given the fact that they have stuck with Milton, and Milton at times has, he played a great half at Alabama. Let me put it to you this way. And I've been saying this with Withrow for like 2 months now, which means it's probably not going to happen. I always felt like before the season started, I'm not a Joe Milton guy. I just, you don't turn around and just snap your fingers and it's going to be light years better just because Hendon Hooker would have been a Heisman finalist and potentially won the award had he not been injured last year. Milton is capable, though, of having that one great game where you just all the intangibles link up and it's that game that is on the highlight reel for every draft package that they have on day three coming up in April and May. Is he going to have that? Probably not. But I've been saying that, but where Chad would always say, well, it's going to be against Kentucky or Missouri, instead of Bama or Georgia. And maybe it's against Vandy. But my point is, can it get worse than what we saw against Missouri? No. And maybe you do have a package or two for Nico and then you ride the hot hand because, at this point, you're not in the mix for the SEC championship. There's a backdoor way you could get in last week if you win, which makes that the worst loss of the weekend between the two teams we're talking about, Titans and Vols. It's certainly on the table as an option for them, Chase, because they in this day and age too, you need to know what you're doing at quarterback in the transfer portal as well, and that's certainly in the mix for the Tennessee Volunteers too, because I'm bringing up Nico there because you're going to upgrade on what you're doing behind him, but also you want more than just a freshman or a red shirt behind him. And you need to know what type of caliber guy you've got. So far, what we've in the small package we've seen, I'm totally fine with it.
Cool. Appreciate it as always, my friend. We'll be listening today at 2 o'clock to you and Chad.
Yeah. Thank you so much. A lot of national discussion coming up across college football and the NFL. So looking forward to it. Thank you as always. Have a great week, guys.
You too. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5, 94.9. The Fan joins us every Monday at 10:30. Coming up next, we'll get to celebrity birthdays.
Plus, we have a brand new sponsor, right?
We do. We'll tell you about that.
Excited about this.
I am very excited. We'll tell you about that. New sponsor and a new guest as well.
Love it.
We'll do that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe. But right now, let's give away some tickets to see Tom Segura. This just got announced at 10 o'clock. Pair of tickets before you can buy them. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10. Caller number 5-615-737-1025 can wear a pair of tickets to see Tom Segura, Bridgestone Arena, April 12th, 2024. Celebrity birthdays next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss this Wednesday night Smashville Live, Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. You can see Predators star players up close and personal, get autographs and pictures, and this week's special guests, the Tendies, Kevin Lankinen, UC Saros, the goalies, they will be there. Come and check that out. 6 o'clock, Smashville Live, brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company. Looking forward to that. Coming up Wednesday night, also the Preds and Pens bowling tournament will be Wednesday night. Andrew Brunette is putting that on this year, the new Predators head coach. So that will be very, very cool.
Still checking my email for that, for Sean Henry to send me the event link. Was it what do you call that? E-Brite? Not E-Brite.
I don't know.
Something like
E-Invite.
That. E-Invite, something, yeah. So, if Sean, if you're listening, just hit send on that little button and send it over so I can RSVP today.
We'll make sure that happens.
Thanks. Exciting moment here, Chaser.
It is. It is. As we get to celebrity birthdays, we're excited to have Zach Piller. You may know that name.
Yep.
Former Titan, offensive lineman, pretty good offensive lineman back in the day. And his new Instagram account, sponsor Celebrity Birthdays. And Zach is going to join us every Tuesday at 10:30 to talk about different things he has going on. Obviously, Neighbors is his business venture, but just talking football and things with him. But Celebrity Birthdays, now presented by Zach Piller and his new Instagram account. Follow Zach Piller on Instagram at Zach_Piller_Divine_Design69 and step into his world.
I love it. That's his number with the Titans. So yep. Look forward to have him on the show. He's a good dude,
man. He is. He's awesome. And I love that we're going to have a former offensive lineman on to talk about the O-line.
Welcome to the team, Zach Piller. Yep. Love it.
Derek Mason just walked in. He remembers playing with Zach Piller. That was his guy back in the day. And with that, Nick, I know you're still getting winners here. Let's get to celebrity birthdays. Presented by Zach Piller.
Yes. Presented by Zach Piller_
Zach Piller_Divine_Design69.
Love it. Just follow him on Instagram. Love you, Zach. Excited to hear you tomorrow on the show with us. All right, celebrity birthdays. Here we go. First birthday up today is actor Joe Mantegna. He does the voice on The Simpsons. Fat Tony.
He was on Criminal Minds.
Yeah, he's also one of the best SNL openings. He came out to host Saturday Night Live, and this kid was in the front row with his dad, and they both had on Joe Montana jerseys. And they stand up, and they leave. And he's like, where are you going? He's like, we thought Joe Montana was going to be hosting the show. It's a great opening. How old is Joe Mantegna today?
73.
76.
76, exactly.
Oh, nice.
Dr. Crane knows his Italians, probably because he's Italian.
Hey.
You know the Pisons. Huh?
I do know the Pisons. It's not my Uncle Tony, but it's one of my Uncle Tonys.
I love it. Actress Whoopi Goldberg.
Ooh.
By the way, I mean, you can whatever the view, I don't care about that stuff, but her in the movie Ghost, she got an Academy Award. She is absolutely fantastic and beautiful in that movie, and also in Sister Act. Great movies.
Sister Acts are great. You're going to call me a nerd, and I don't care. She was also fantastic on the Star Trek The Next Generation series as Guinan.
Okay.
She did not know that. She was the bartender in 10 Forward, but also an advisor to Picard.
Okay.
So.
Well, how old is she today?
She is 74.
67.
68.
Mm. How about it?
Dr. Crane knows his Star Trek.
I don't, actually.
Comedian Jimmy Kimmel.
He's funny sometimes. Jimmy Kimmel, 57.
Jimmy Kimmel, we're going to go 54.
56. Chasers on the board, 2-1. job, Chase. Proud of you when you get something like that.
Thank you.
Well done. Actor Gerard Butler, who's in 47 movies about defending the White House. and they're all good.
48.
53.
54. Dang. Dr. Crane up 3-1. All right, here we go. Actor Jimmy Hawkins, he was It's a Wonderful Life.
Like the original It's a Wonderful
Life? The original It's a Wonderful Life.
89.
Ooh, 94.
You guys are great. 82.
Oh,
but
boy.
You get it. You're in the neighborhood there. Actor Chris Noth, he was Mr. Big in Sex and the City. He's also in Law and Order. He also came to Nashville and hosted the fireworks and was a complete ass. Actor Chris Noth, true story.
67.
73.
69. Boom. 3-2. Reba's boyfriend, actor Rex Lynn. He was in CSI Miami. He was the bad guy. What's a Stallone movie where they were mountain climbers? Oh, my goodness. Came out in 93. Yeah. He was the bad guy in that, but he's also in CSI Miami.
62.
59.
67. Okay, you should have got that one better. Chase, I'm
sorry.
Disappointing you.
Oh, I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah, you know who he is now. It's too late, buddy. Let's see one more here. Actress Caroline Goodall. She's in The Princess Diaries and Schindler's List.
65. 71.
64. We're tied at 3. We got one more to go here real quick. Actor Steve Zahn. He was in That Thing You Do. Very funny. Also in Happy Texas. Great actor. Steve Zahn.
54.
58.
God, it's a push. You guys tied it. We're out of time. We'll get tomorrow. He's 56. Well done.
Well, I said 54.
He said 58. He's 56. You guys in the middle.
But no. This Price is Right without going over.
No, it's not.
I win. You've done that before.
No, either side of 2 years. He's 56.
You have
Dr. Crane got 58. You got 54.
You have given one of us.
I've always said within 2 years.
Not going to argue a draw.
Thank you.
Not going to do it.
I am protesting.
Don't get Zach Pillar in here.
I am protesting this.
Pound your face in the carpet.
I'm going to protest this.
Great show, brother.
Great show. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, it's coming up next. They'll take your reaction to the Titans' loss. Mike Vrabel at 12:20 today. Chase and Big Joe back at it tomorrow at 9.
And don't forget, to our brothers out there, you're struggling, going through a tough time, let us know that we love you guys. Here's a phone number, 988. Need to talk to somebody, please call that number. People always there to help you. And again, we love you. Our world's a better place because you are here. Know that.